Let's vibe for a second.
I love Kodak so much.
Let's vibe for a second.
Young nigga, I got old cash, spazzing on the ass. I got Prada on my whole ass. Got my
shout out to everybody that's tuned in right now. Like everybody that's in the car, you driving, you tuned in to the Gemini Scorpio podcast. You rock with us, we rock with you. Come on, let's go. Yes, sir, Ski. Yo, we got a lot of people in the building today. We got a live audience. We're going to have some fun. We have a live audience. I'm going to make this interesting.
Is it you? Damn, my nigga, what the hell did I answer you? Project baby, y'all was skipping in the hallway. I was skipping school. All my P's and Q's on them chicks.
I'm sipping on yak. I'm sipping on wine.
And concrete. Bet you niggas won't come across the street. Pardon me. I don't talk to you.
So don't you
talk to me. I ain't dissing on nobody. Be I'm vibing on the beat. Honestly, I'm just trying to be. I just got
let this play out.
Trying to get over on anything they telling lies to me. I spent five on my pink ring. Yeah.
She love my
diamond ring. In a way, I'm married to the guy. She sell her vows to me.
I ain't getting on my knees, babe.
You got diamond.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
You buy. Oh, woo! Wow.
Everything be like,
yeah. Like, Gemini Scorpio podcast episode 86, right?
Yeah, it is these days.
That's where we at? 86?
Yeah.
86.
What they say?
Cheers, gang, cheers.
Yeah, you ain't the one for me, baby. You ain't got shit I need. You want me to take my time with you, or maybe I'm not your speed.
We got
bitch.
Air
maybe I'm not your lead, bitch.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I'm just too G for you. Maybe I'm just too street, bitch. I can eat rolling peas.
Yeah.
Everybody notice me.
Yeah, we gon' vibe. We gon' vibe.
They tried to give me eight, got on my knee like Jesus, please. He only believe in Jesus. Why you got
I believe
Jesus
in him. Let's get it started, man. Let's get it started.
Even the blind can see, but she ain't gon' ride for me. He ain't showing me the love you said you got for me.
I gotta let this ride. I gotta let this ride. Hey,
baby, you're bad for me.
Yeah.
Baby, you're bad for me.
Yeah.
Say you gon' clap.
Yeah.
Say you gon' blast for me.
Yeah.
Why you ain't show me? Now the love you say you have for me.
What they say?
We're going through tragedy. Bitch, I needed you drastically.
Yeah.
I'ma just switch my flow up. Yeah.
Maybe I'm sitting no
door.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm sitting no check up.
Yeah.
We need to run your check up.
Yeah.
Beating on your niggas, no catch up.
Yeah.
Beating on your niggas, can't catch up.
Yeah.
Hit a face down.
Now they go to the park.
Even when I'm fucking, I'm
messed
up.
You ain't the one for me, baby. You ain't got shit I need.
Maybe I'm take my time with you. Maybe I'm not your speed. Maybe I'm not your lead, bitch. You ain't got no cheese, bitch. Maybe I'm just too G for you. Maybe I'm just too screed, bitch. I can eat rolling.
All right.
That's crazy.
Hey, let's.
I remember I went to the Future concert and Kodak performed, and I was texting Jay. I said, Jay, I just fanned out. Kodak was on stage. I fanned out. Love Kodak.
Yo, listen. If you just tuned into, this is the Gemini Scorpio podcast episode 86. If you are watching this on YouTube, sorry, you too late. You gotta go get
the audio experience.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Check us out, man. Make sure you give us a 5-star review. You know, also like and subscribe and turn your notification on YouTube. We appreciate you. But let's get this show started. Gemini Scorpio podcast episode 86. The gang is here. We got audience members in the building. Let's run through it. We got Alexander DeBlanc is here.
Yes, sir.
Dylan is here. Kyvin is here. Irvin?
Irvin.
Irvin is here.
Irvin's here.
Bay Hill.
Sade.
Mr. J Hill. Gemini Scorpio podcast. So I feel like last week we had a pretty serious conversation. Heavy, yeah. We still going to keep it on par. But the thing for this one, right, we always defer to Alex. Matter of fact, we ain't going to go there yet. Hold up. How was y'all week, man? What's going on? How was your week, Dylan? What was going on? Talk to me. Yeah, no, not in the mic. No. He don't get no mic time yet.
He said, I was like.
Yeah.
He could wait.
What happened?
This is my moment.
Kyron, what's up, man? How was it? Was good? Irvin, your week was good? Alex, good?
Very good week,
anything
bro.
Anything new, bae?
Just consistency. We just here.
What you say to people be there? Like, they be like, man, you know, just, I'm just here just trying to do my part, play my part.
Just do my thing, play my part.
Yeah, man.
Play my role.
We here. Oh, man.
How you feeling?
That's
so good.
Good question.
How is that do a good you question? Feel? Because you always asking us a question. But we never the, see this we, the thing about us as men, bro. We not how do you feel, bro?
Right. Fix your face.
Bro, I feel good.
That's
feel
good. Good.
It's like, I feel good about finding a new space. I think a couple episodes ago we talked about how, you know, the way out, the way to contentment is like through other goals. Mm-hmm. So because I'm in that space, I feel good that I don't have to worry about other things. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not worrying about other things, right?
Very nice.
Because I'm worrying about the goals that we set. Mm-hmm. Right? So,
and you hitting the goals.
Facts. Dang, Kyron. Come on, man. We got to turn the air off.
Yeah, my bangs is blowing.
Yeah. We might can take that out. You know, Kyron. Kyron is the guy on the boards and he does the art. Wait. Nah. I'm putting him out there. So, you know, Kyron is on the boards. He's supposed to. Oh, by now. He's doing the audio right now, but. Originally, he started doing the boards. We were supposed to do the audio, and he lost his way, guys.
I'm screaming.
Yeah, I'm gonna call him out.
Kyron, not you lost your way.
He got. Nah, man. So, but yeah, I think I'm really vibing with the team. Like, I think in person, we're like two and a half men strong. I say two and a half because, like, you know, we still rock with a seven. Seven is like my. He's like not on my team, but like he's like mm-hmm. my guy. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. Seven is like the utility Sevy. Man.
Like Cheatham.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, like Cheatham. So it's like Seven pull up.
I miss Cheatham. Yeah.
Talk to my man Cheatham. I love you, brother. Like Seven is like whenever I
that
need him.
That was a great.
Yeah, fact. So mm-hmm. I feel good, to be honest.
That's so good. I'm so happy you feel good.
Yeah. I wanted to do. How do you feel far as Gemini Scorpio podcast? How do you feel? Like,
I love how we came back because the structure, and shout out to you for giving it a new vision of just how we're going to run it, how we're going to do things, how intentional we're going to be. And I think we're doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we ate eight episodes in now since we came back. That's a lot. Like, I don't think people understand. Like, I didn't even understand when I first got started. Went 2 years strong, and I still was still trying to understand the dynamic. What's going on?
I'm just trying to unfold the shirt.
Oh, my shirt was folded. I was like, what's going on? So, but even to come back, do eight episodes consistently, and, you know, gathering the team, Alex being here, it's a lot of little detail that goes into this to make it what it is. And I'm just appreciative. I'm very grateful, and I can't wait to continue to go. You know, it's crazy to think that we went 2 years strong that long every single week that way. So I'm ready to do it again. It's crazy to know that we did that, because I'm like, yo, we really did that. So now I'm looking, I'm like, wow, 2 years seems like a long time from today, but it goes by so fast when you're having fun, and it goes by so fast when you're being intentional. So I'm and in a fun way is what I mean. Like, in a good way, go fast, not like going past us, but you pick up a lot along that journey. So I'm excited.
It's crazy because
I'm excited.
I'm excited too in that way, because, like, you know, we were talking about how on an interview series, on the J Hill podcast, we got like 150 something, right? Yeah. And I'm excited to hit 100.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like,
so awesome.
I'm actually like looking forward to hitting 100.
Milestones are a great way to scale your progress. So I'm excited to continue.
Alex, how do you feel about
the Blanc?
Just
man,
the,
I mean, it's just the beauty is in the journey, not the destination. You know what I'm saying? That just this is a true testament to that, to see where we started. Like, again, they don't know. Like, you see the podcast, you see the production and everything. I remember the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being behind the camera,
man.
And then like to how it has evolved. So, right, it's just beautiful to see the growth every week.
And shout out to Alex for being here, because we've had a lot of players, and. I'm sorry. I try to hold it. But guess what? At least it's not on your shirt. Mm-hmm. At least it's not on your shirt. Yep.
I did that on purpose.
Boom. Boom. See that? Wow.
She's ducking that shot. See,
yes. Like, that was actually very funny. Okay. But long story short, shout out to Alex, because I always, like, when I think about Alex, I'm just like, yo, Alex really has been here from the beginning. And we've had a lot of people on our team. And just to still sit here with Alex, still going strong, I think it's just a special thing. And, like, shout out to all everybody that we work with, because we worked with a lot of people. But Alex is just really special to the show. Like, you know, so we are just super pressed. You're in the A.
Appreciate
and
that.
You where you belong. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is your ministry.
Per J. Don't get Jay started.
Look. Yeah, no, yeah. Per J.
Yo, matter of fact, Dylan, can you give me some soap and water, please? Because they might charge me for this. I don't know.
I'm but, screaming.
We got to get this out. I but, know. I know. Nah, facts. I think...
If you get a little, like if it has, like, dish soap or something, like, out there, yeah.
Please. Thank
you,
brother.
So much. Want to swap it?
Maybe. I guess. I mean, yeah. Appreciate you, bro.
Shout out to my bro, Irvin.
Yeah.
Coming in and
it
just...
Came in on his big one, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So,
looks way better.
Do you see the stain, Kyra? Yeah.
Didn't put your little...
Does it look crazy? Yes.
Well, put your hand. There you go.
Oh, actually, yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, fuck it. Thank you, brother. All right. So yeah. Like we were saying, it's definitely to be back together, right? But I'd be lying to say if I didn't like, I foresee. Like I saw these conversations when we first started. We was trying to have them, but we wasn't equipped yet. And like to your point, Alex. We had to go through what we went through. I guess I just wasn't ready for that, which I'm never like ready for the journey. It's like I want it now,
right?
But I've been seeing this.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
You manifested it, because I mean you spoke about it, and we just weren't there yet, and that's okay, because you know we needed the tools we need. But you spoke about like the intention of it being how it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we were still trying to. Well, one, we had to go through a lot of process to become that vulnerable, become. Mm-hmm. You know, that transparent, and even just like even watching myself from the beginning, like I have so much growth in how I even podcast from then to now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Also, I'm also a different woman than I was then to now. So, you know, the ability to be able to just speak on our journey in a certain way, which can make people be more relatable to it because it's slower, you know what I mean? But slower in a good way where people can process what's happening. You know, the jokes and stuff is always fun. And the play is always fun, but hitting it home and getting and relating to people is more fulfilling.
Facts. So, just speaking on being intentional, I wanted to usually be I'll throw it to you, Alex, like we were talking about, but this one I ain't even say nothing. I wanted to talk about conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking about conflict resolution, we gotta talk about some conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's have some fun. I mean, you know what I'm saying, we've been serious the last couple weeks. We still can be serious, but let's have some fun with it. And I just wanted to start off by asking, we got Irvin in the building, Dylan in the building, even Kyron. Just what are some things, I guess, the last problem that you had in your relationship? Dylan, you hear me? The last problem that you had in your relationship. You're going to give me that anyway, so just wait, yeah. The last problem that y'all had in y'all relationship, right? And I wanted us, me, you, and Alex, to kind of talk through those things and
okay. How
do we resolve these conflicts in our situations, right, and other situations as well. So I'm going to let, I guess Dylan can go. You can just pass me that.
Music. Experienced in my relationship.
What was the hardest, I guess?
The most difficult.
Why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what made you?
Okay. Well, basically, we ended it because it was like two things. So I would say the main thing was like a lack of patience for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like me still growing as a man, mm-hmm, right? Like I personally will say I was never really taught how to court properly or date properly. Mm-hmm. So it's certain things that she felt like she was like probably too much for her to teach me for real. Not that she was teaching me, but I'm like learning
right,
as I'm going.
Right, right.
So it's like, I feel like one of her main things was like, I don't want to be teaching somebody how to be a man.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that was one thing, was like that patience. And another thing was just like the lack of faith. I think
I think it was a lack of faith. Basically, like, I'm believing in something that she can't necessarily see because of her past.
Was there an age gap?
Nah, no, not really. Like, she like 2 years, 3 years younger. Two years younger than me.
Okay. I mean, how did you receive that information? Like, when, like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, how I would have, like, received, like, somebody telling me, like, you know.
But they didn't tell me straightforward.
Okay. It wasn't a straightforward conversation.
It was a whole lot of mixed messaging. A whole lot of that. So it's like I had to kind of figure it out. And through the conversations, I kind of figured it out. It was like, okay, she don't necessarily want to be with somebody right now who is not all the way where she thinks they should be at. You know what I'm saying?
So it's right, like almost is the dating correct
potential.
Thing.
You know
but
what
was
saying?
The what was the conflict, though? That sounds like how you explained it. That sounds like something that we could come to terms about. From what you said, what was the conflict that came, that presented itself in a relationship on a day-to-day basis because of that issue? I think that's the core issue.
Okay, yeah, that's good. So it wasn't necessarily a day-to-day thing, but it was like two instances. It was maybe like one or two instances that happened, right? So I remember it was like it was something slight that really broke it. It was like, I said one time, I'm going to get you some flowers for Mother's Day because she was a mom, right? But then she was like, I don't need nothing. You know what I'm saying? Me as a man, I should have known, like, I should get her something anyway. But I took it literally, like, she don't need nothing.
Cool, let's talk about that. When we, so we, and I'm going to break this down even further, right, to make it more funny. When women say, I'm not hungry, but you really are, right? But even back to the point, like, I feel like women are misleading something, can be misleading. Like, I'll be like, hey, babe, you want anything? Nah, but I come home. You want some mom. Babe, you just said you ain't want nothing. What are we to do in those situations when we ask you, when you say, I'm okay?
So you know what I think it is? All right, so first of all, I know today that she's a mom. Mm-hmm. So I'm a mom, so I can attest to certain feelings. I think that women don't want men to ask. We want you to just do. I think I spoke to you about this before, like about reading the room. Like, you know, for example, if you like, all right, so as a mom, our hands are usually tied majority of the day, if not all day, right? And if you like, you want me to get you to something to eat, and I'm gonna like, I'm good. Cause I'm not even thinking about that right now, but I probably should eat because I probably haven't ate all day. I'm running around behind these kids, but I'm just so busy. I'm probably not going to stop and eat this second, but realistically I should eat. And excuse me, but there's nobody really nurturing me to make like, sit down, make sure you eat something. Like, nah, you need to eat something. Instead of like asking me, just bring it in. So it's like, you know what? Like, sit down, come on, let's eat something. You get what I'm trying to say? So I think for women, it's not that we are sending mixed messages. I think we definitely could do a better job at just managing how we feel so that way we can give a clear message. But I think in essential, we just want somebody to nurture us. So instead of asking us, we want you to just do. Like, so if you honestly, not to put you out there like that, but like if you ask me if I want flowers, it's like, why you ask me? Like, get them.
So do you think,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, why are you like, that's like, especially because, like, you know, and I don't know her, but sometimes women don't want to, like, seem like they need anything either. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm good. Like, because it's, I don't know why. Now, this I will say, like, I don't know why women tend to play coy. Like, we don't need anything or we don't want anything. But I do feel like it does come from a history of made to be, feel bad if we did ask for something somewhere down the line. It don't even have to be from men. Maybe it's from your parents or somebody. So now we just, like, you know, a lot of women like, I'm just not going to ask. Or people. So we always want to act like we don't need nothing or we need so little. You know what I'm saying? Which is a habit I've gratefully tried to get out of because I do need things. You know what I mean? I do want things and I want nice things and I want to be treated well and I do. So, that whole feel of like, nah, I'm good. I don't need too much. I don't need to ask for too much. You should be asking or you should be needing or somebody should be giving you something, you know? So, and just for the flower sake, I don't really think it's ever wise for guys to ask for, to buy any woman flowers.
You
know
what it was though? I didn't ask. I said I was going to get them and I never did.
Yeah, no, that's a big, women hate that.
But it became a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. Like, it became like, oh, like, she basically used that to be like,
you don't do what you're gonna say you're gonna do. Like, yeah, you don't. You it was generalized, like, yeah, as you don't do what you say you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. So how do we? Let's have that conversation. How do we resolve those conflicts? Because I would assume that comes from a deeper. That's deeper than just saying I'm gonna get flowers and not getting flowers.
Now for this per se conversation, I definitely think context matters, you know what I'm saying? So not to put Dylan on the spot at all, but like, I will say, like, women, I can speak for a lot of women when I will say, if you are a man that says you're going to do something and do not do it and do that multiple times, women lose trust in you instantly. Because the one thing as a man, keep your word. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, and, or just even as a person, I think, I don't even want to just put it on just men to have to keep that. I think, if you say you want to do something, then do it. You know what I'm trying to say? So I don't know if that was like something that happened maybe once or time. Girls can be dramatic though. If it happened twice, you don't never do what you say you're going to do. Now I'm holding it over your head. And that's not right either. However, like.
But right there, how do we deal with that frustration or that conflict that comes from
who
that?
Deal with it? Like, you as a man or we as a woman? Like,
both
like
of
what
us,
you mean?
Though. It's on both of us, right?
Well, no, right. Now, so, I think communication, of course.
But let's say, of course, communication, right? But let's dive deeper into the conversation as far as if I'm someone who doesn't keep my word, I would assume that comes from something in my past or I don't know the exact word I'm looking for, but it's
some form of trauma in a sense.
Exactly, right? So I'm not just not keeping my word intentionally or on purpose. But in return, because I'm not keeping my word, you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see, how do we deal with that conflict in itself?
I think it could be a conversation, to be honest. Like, but I also feel like it has to be some type of like, who are you? Like, is there accountability being taken for not keeping word? Even if it's consciously or unconsciously or an accident, whatever. And the reason why I said that, because it's like, it's one thing to just not keep your word and just to, all right, I ain't do it. Like, it ain't that big a deal. But it's another thing of like, you know what? That's on me. Like, I told you I was going to do something and I ain't do it. And you can hold me to that because it, you know, that was my mess up. And I genuinely apologize from that. And like, one thing I just told my friend, like, accountability is not just saying I'm sorry. Accountability is change behavior.
We talk about the difference between accountability and responsibility.
Yes. Like, you cannot take accountability without taking responsibility. You have to do both. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to say I'm sorry, then if you're following up with change behavior, the truth was, like, trust comes with a pattern of consistent truths.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So if you tell me you're sorry, you didn't keep your word on something. This is not just you, Dylan. This is just in general. But, and all of a sudden, you tell me you're sorry, and you start to show me, like, I am a man of my word, or I do this, then I'm going to trust you to be that. So I think it's a consistency of a pattern. And if you show me whatever you show me you are, I'm going to believe you are. Now, like I said, though, I do know girls to be dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you don't do something two times or one times and like rah rah rah, more than likely, I'm gonna say that's who you are until you show me different.
So I guess I asked that because I guess like it's ways to work through certain things,
right?
Though, right? So like even if that was me, at one point I can grow from that.
Of course.
Do I ever even get the grace to grow from that in the relationship? Is that a non-negotiable?
It depends on who it is. For me, like, I can't say that's non-negotiable, because like, I'm like, I feel like people don't look at just one thing as a non-negotiable. It's like, I'm gonna look at the whole scape, right? All right, does this outweigh this? You know what I'm saying? You got this good quality, this good quality, this good quality. Is this big enough to outweigh these good qualities? Because if it's something that is, then yeah, it's a non-negotiable. That's why I said it's really on who you're talking to, because like, you know, or it could be the last straw that broke the camel's back. Like, it could be either something, you already doing this, this, that, and the third, and you also doing this, I'm done. Like, you know what I mean? It depends on who you're talking about and their tolerance level for you and what you're showing them.
I think keeping your word is definitely one of my non-negotiables. Because I feel like if you don't, what's the opposite of not keeping your word? Being a liar, right? So it's like, I don't want no liar. So I would think, but in order...
Not the opposite. It's like a synonym, like, yeah, of it. Like,
so in order, I think in order to avoid those conflicts, communication is one, right? Mm-hmm. But even communicating that this is not okay.
Right.
And if this is going to be a pattern, then I have to step away. But even to the men out there, right? Who, because I can't really relate to this because I don't, this is one of the things that I really, really, really strive hard on is keeping my word.
Right. Can I touch it right there? Because, like, honestly, and I don't want to speak to that because what I will say about women, and I've been guilty of this plenty of times too, so I'm not talking to women, I'm talking at us because I've been guilty of this as well. When you're dating or, you know, getting to know somebody or it's the beginning stages of some of relationship of some sort, women are really quick to feel something, not say it, complain about it to their friends. I'm like, bro, I'm just not dealing with it. I'm like, nah, like, I'm not even going to tell him because he should know. Like, I'm like, well, I got to tell you this. He should know. So I'm not even going to say no. I'm about to cut this nigga off. Like, I'm not finna be going back and forth teaching no nigga, like, rah, 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 about whatever it is. And they do silent cutoffs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or silent, like, or they may just be kind of still trickling, messing with you, but like, I don't fuck with you like that because you, I feel some type of way about this, but don't know how to say it or just won't say it. Like, but I do think that there would be more successful relationships if women did just say, hey, here's some grace. Look, this bothers me. I don't like this. You know what I mean? This is just something I genuinely don't like. It, and you know, it makes me feel X, Y, Z, rah, rah, rah. And give a man an opportunity to see if he wants to fix it. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe he does. Maybe he likes you enough, he does. And maybe he genuinely just doesn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? Like, even like what Dylan said, like, he genuinely just wasn't taught how to court. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make him a bad guy if you just wasn't taught something. Like, imagine just not genuinely not knowing something and somebody punishing you for it. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, dang, like, you punished me for something that I never was taught. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, and it's almost not fair. You know, and then women run around just like, I can't find a nigga, I can't find a nigga. Like, these niggas ain't shit, these niggas ain't shit. Like, but like, whole time, like, you're not really trying either. Like, you know what I mean? You're not really meeting it halfway with something either.
No, I definitely understand and I agree because I feel like at, just like, at nature or at the core, women are emotional, women are nurturers, women are lovers, right? I feel like one of the things of men at the core of us is problem solvers, right? So if you present me a problem, this might not be all men, but I'm pretty certain that most men will try to fix that problem, right? But to go back to just keeping your word, I think that's probably one of, if not the most important to do, one of the most important things to do as a man, right? I think, and it's not coming at the person that presented this question, but I mean, this problem, but I think we have to be, we talk about being intentional, right? And we always bank on things not being in our attention, but that's because we wasn't intentional, right? That's the whole point of being intentional. So if you're not...
I, that's like a pet peeve of mine. That wasn't my intention. Well, and what I used to say... Well, match your actions with your intentions.
Yeah, like if that's like, but that's what it is when
it's
when
intentional.
When you're intentional, you match your actions with your words.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Same with keeping your word. Right. So if I tell you something, I'ma do all make it all in my power to do exactly what I said. And if I can't, I'ma express extreme remorse or just be super apologetic because I can't do that. Right. So I think that's a way that if you're struggling with that, right, if you're struggling with keeping your word, you got to be real with yourself. We talked about this earlier about like just being accountability and being real with yourself. And the, if you can be real, Yeah, if you're self-aware, then you can at least, at bare minimum, apologize for it and move better.
And honestly, if you're struggling with remembering, just set an alarm. Set a reminder. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I am guilty of, I forget a lot of things. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'd be like, oh, shoot, I was supposed to da-da-da-da. So I got an alarm for everything. Like, I need them because I genuinely will forget. Like, you know, I feel like sometimes it might not even be intentional. The nigga might just genuinely forgot. Like, you get what I'm trying to say? Nigga, life be life in. Like, you know, you run around doing this. The next thing you know, somebody done call you to stop you to do this. You turn around, your boss to ask you to do this. Now, next thing you know, like, oh, I got to do this. Now, it's like, sometimes it's just hard to keep up. Like, it is. So,
let's go one more.
And then set a reminder.
Bring it back to us. One more. Irvin, did you have anything? If you don't, it's fine.
Irvin said he just got his heart broken.
I guess the last problem, or like, you know,
might be that helpful. You had in a relationship, you know, girls, or like last relationship, you know?
Something that you kept arguing about. Because we talking about, what is it, Alex? I keep losing this.
Conflict resolution.
So a problem that you had in a prior relationship. It don't have to be the last one. It don't have to be a recent one, but just something that kept coming up. That was the issue.
So for me, I feel like I had conversations with Alex on multiple occasions about, you know, past relationships. And
So I was saying Blanc and I have had multiple conversations about, like, our past relationships. And I think, you know, when you fall out of a relationship, a lot of times you spend a lot of time reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, when you ask the question, you know what I'm saying, one of the things I think about is just learning how to, like, really, like, truly be a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel as, like, I'm African, I'm not American, so learning two different cultures and also trying to, like, learn how it is to be a man in a relationship when I never seen it or been around it for real. So for me, I look at myself. I don't necessarily look at the relationship or, like, you know, the little things. I think at the core of it, men are supposed to lead. So I think at times, like, not understanding how to lead, you know what I'm saying, in a way of, like, letting things become larger than they need to be. You know what I'm saying? Where pride and ego.
Give me an example. So we can understand how we can have conflict resolution.
Okay. So example, I say, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of like drawing a line and setting boundaries. That's something I've kind of learned throughout my time of being single now. Like, if someone isn't talking to you a way that you don't appreciate, like, learn how to communicate that and not be, like, not taking it to that point. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Taurus, you know what I'm saying? Not that it really matters.
No, but, I do.
Okay. So sometimes, like, I'm hard-headed, you know, I'm stubborn, you feel me? Like, and if a woman gonna take it there with me because of my pride, my ego, and me being hard-headed, stubborn, and African, I'm about to go there with you too, you know what I'm saying? Instead of sometimes yielding and understanding, like, I don't gotta win every battle. Is that a good example?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think, and it's funny because we was gonna take it to us, but we could kind of go in it from there. I think we suffered a lot.
From that. Literally.
And I don't... As a man, I guess I can get my perspective. From a man, I don't think, and this is my perspective, we're just looking on it, and hopefully this don't be triggering. So, trigger warning, because we didn't discuss this, but coming up early in my relationship, I think conflict was introduced, and I didn't know how to, I don't want to say yield, but I thought conflict resolution was, okay, if it don't bother me, that's okay, right? Communicate. But conflict resolution is setting boundaries, because no matter how many times my woman or a person does something that gets under my skin, the bottom line is still the bottom line. And what I mean by that is I could be a stand-up man 10 times. But if I explode on the 11th time, I'm still who I am in times of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think what I had to learn was not to push it to the side, but meet it head on. So if something does come, be direct in it and communicate, even if that's uncomfortable for you. Because I don't want to be in that position where I feel like my back is against the wall, where I feel like I got to fight or flight, right? So I think that's what I learned in our space, because me and Sade has had that time, like, have had that exact thing on a multitude of times. And I guess sometimes it could be yielding, but for I just want to say yield, because yield means, like, give up or, like, I don't know. Submit, I guess. And it's nothing wrong with submitting. I feel like we got to submit to each other. It's just, yeah. I just wouldn't say you. I would say.
But why?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think, for me,
to get your reason why.
I just wouldn't say yield, because it's not a yield for me. So last episode.
What does yield mean?
To me, it means to stop, to slow down, to submit, I guess. Yeah, when I hear yield, I think of the traffic sign yield, right? Stop when pedestrians come.
Proceed with caution.
So for me, like last episode, I personally didn't understand why. What's the definition? You read it. You got it. That's the definition. Oh, thinking y'all put out a definition. So
you said
this nigga. But yeah, so last episode, I personally didn't understand how. I didn't understand why you thought what I was saying was a jab or what's the word? Threat. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. However, what I could understand was it bothered you. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to yield to understand how you feel. But maybe I'm looking at it wrong. For me, I'm being intentional to take my personal feelings out of it to understand how you feel, how it made you feel.
It's yielding, though.
Yeah, so I mean,
essentially,
to yield, okay. Essentially, the definition. Well, one of them is to produce or provide, right? But the other one is to give way to arguments, demands, or pressure.
Mm. Yeah,
to give way to arguments, demands, or pressure. Mm-hmm. But again, why I say I wouldn't do that, I don't. For me, why I say it's not that for me, because I'm not giving way to your argument or pressure. For me, it's really just understanding. It's me putting myself. It's empathizing. It's putting myself in your shoes. So, but that could be yielding if that's whatever. But the way I look at it is like, okay, you presented a problem or something that you felt. Let me take myself out of it, not be personal, and see how you could really feel that way. Because arguments continue by us not actively listening, right? You say something and I'm saying something. Then you saying something, but no, you said something hurts your feelings. Let me not skip over that to tell you how that's not what I meant or you looking at it the wrong way. Let me dissect exactly how you feel. Okay, you thought that was a threat? If I didn't think it was a threat, just express that. I'm sorry, I didn't think that was a threat. I might have read the room wrong. I could have had that conversation with that. That was still a conversation that I meant. I meant every word. But however, I can acknowledge how saying it in a manner that I would say it to my homie with my woman present, it is a recipe for disaster, right? That can be true, and you still can apologize. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't look at it as yielding. I just look at it as putting myself in someone else's shoes. That makes sense? Right. Is what I'm trying to say? So back to that, I just feel like a lot of conflicts come from that, and a lot of our conflicts came from you got me effed up instead of, I guess we could say yielding, right? Like, because think about it. If you say you got me effed up, and I'm like, damn, well, I don't want to have you effed up. I feel like that's how relationships should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You got me effed up. Man, I'm not trying to have you effed up. But in those conflicts, in those moments, it'd be, you got me effed up. No, you got me effed up.
Mm. So it's just a tit for tat, in a sense. I mean, basically.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. At the core of it, it's tit for tat. And it's like, what do you get from that? You get nothing.
I feel like so many times, too, like, people are offended by things that maybe we shouldn't be offended by.
But, like, but who are we to say that,
no,
though?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, on both sides, though. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, even the you got me fucked up part, sometimes nobody's trying to have you fucked up. Like, maybe this is, like, for example, what I noticed is he said he's a Taurus, he's African, et cetera, right? So I'm Jamaican and Trinidadian and a Scorpio, right? So a lot of times how I was taught to express myself in my household and how we express ourselves, this is just how we talk. I remember I used to tell my mom, like, why you got to talk? She's like, this is just how I talk. I just talk like this, right? So I went a lot of my life, this is just how I talk, right? So I'm trying to get my point across to you. This is an example. And this is just how I talk, but you're offended. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we do go through this, actually. Real stuff. You're offended. But this is just how I talk. You get what I'm trying to say? And now because you're offended, now it's da-da-da-da-da right back. And that's like, what the fuck? Why are you talking to me like that? No, I'm offended. Now we just offended. When we know, neither one of us really needed to be offended. Because at the end of the day, sometimes we're really just operating in our nature and not really the circumstance, if that makes sense. And it leads a lot of times for arguments and unnecessary issues that end up escalating for no reason at all.
This is a
great, for no reason at all.
It's a great conversation. But I'm going to respectfully disagree.
No, it's fine.
Because that's what we're used to in our environment.
Right.
That don't mean the world is used to that.
For example, of course.
In Baltimore, a term of endearment is dummy.
Right.
But you have to have enough understanding or knowledge to know that I can't go to North Carolina and say dummy and they embrace it like we do in Baltimore.
But people
I
have said, done it.
Yeah, but
because you're
gotta,
just human.
But yeah, you yeah, do it because you're human, purpose, but you gotta
you learn.
You gotta accept what comes from that.
Right.
So if you go to and that just comes with time, right? So I just feel like when you're introduced to knowledge, once your mind is stretched, you can't go back, right? And I say this from experience. So yeah. I could not know no better. And I can go to North Carolina, I can be like, yo, what up, dummy? And somebody might want to fight me, right? I can't then look at them like they crazy. I have to understand or do some sort of self-awareness to understand something I did promoted this response. Because for every action is a counter-reaction, right? So I feel like when we I don't want to say use a curse. I'm trying to use words that's respectful, not triggering. But when we say things like, that's how I talk. That right. doesn't mean that I have to receive how you talk. So hold up.
That's not what I'm saying, though.
So when you say things like, we are offended for no reason, I just feel like it's not our job to say it's no reason for it. Because last time, right, think about it. The last episode, my initial response, my initial thought was, I didn't say anything to threaten you. I don't even know why you would think that. But imagine if I took that approach. No, let me see how you were offended, because clearly, that's how I talk. Well, right? But that wasn't the space for me to talk like that. So same in our relationship. If we're having a conversation, I get that's how you talk with your friends or when you was coming up or with your peers. This ain't the space for that, though.
So I just want to clarify. I'm not saying when you're in that moment that you should tell somebody that you have no reason to be offended. That's not what I said.
Mm-hmm.
What I said was, like, just for the sake of conversation, like, we really don't have no business being offended with our partners if we learn their nature. You know what I'm trying to say? And the reason why I say that is because, like, for example, like you said, once you know better, you do better, whatever. That's a part of the journey. I know better now, so obviously I'm not doing that, but I'm just talking from a state when I was doing those things, right? Of what I was going through when I was doing those things for somebody who is going through it so that they can understand, right? So, for example, I was just talking to somebody. We were just talking about traveling, and she went to Turkey. And in Turkey, she said she was telling me how she got offended because it was a guy she did not know. And this guy that's from Turkey kept asking the guy, how much is her braids? She had some long braids in. How long did her braids took? And the guy turned to her, was like, how long did your braid take? She was like, 8 hours. And the guy turned back to the guy, was like, 8 hours. And he was like, how much did she pay? Asking the guy. She was getting irritated, like, why the hell you keep talking to this nigga and not asking me? And he's sitting next to me. In Turkey, if they think you're with a guy, they do not speak to the woman.
Out of respect,
they speak.
Yeah.
To the man out of respect. Whole time these two don't even know each other. She goes to the guy, why do you keep talking to him? You're not talking to me. Now he's offended.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? Whole time, neither one of them were wrong. So neither one of them had no business being offended because neither one of them were wrong. However, their environments dictated that circumstance, but they were just operating in their own nature. You get what I'm trying to say? In America, you can ask a girl directly. You don't have to speak to a guy to talk to the girl. Now, out of respect, you know somebody, but nobody, even out of respect, I'm not really going. So you're probably not going to ask him how much my hair is. You probably like, hey, shout out. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, right? But in Turkey, that's the normal. So that guy really wasn't doing anything wrong. Whole time, her being offended, she really wasn't doing anything wrong too, because she's operating in America. Is way because she's American. You get what I'm trying to say? But neither one of them knew any better. But they had no business being offended. But however, they were offended because they were operating in their own nature. So I'm just applying the same thing. Like, if I'm just from my own nature and I'm just operating how I typically do, I don't mean no harm. This is just how I operate. And my partner is the same. He just, you operating your way. Neither one of us really wrong. We don't really have no business being offended. However, it happens because we're human. For sure. And that's just what I'm saying, because, and I feel like if a lot more people could just learn each other's, honestly, learn your partners a little better. Like, what is your, how did you grow up? Like, what is your household like? Like, you know, how was your mom with you? Like, or even just the question, what's your conflict resolution style? You get what I'm trying to say? You know what I mean? I feel like like now learning, because nobody's probably asking these questions, but now as a grown adult, you know what I'm saying? And other grown adults, I think that's a valid question. Like, what was the conflict resolution in your house? Like, you know, a lot of, you know, I didn't grow up with a two-parent household. You know, so I know some people do, some people don't. Some people may say, well, you know, my mom and my dad, da da da. Some people may say, well, I didn't grow up with my dad but my mom. And it just will, you can learn so much by the question in itself. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of us are still just learning conflict resolution style. You know what I'm saying? Which is why even myself, I have so much more grace for it, because I'm somebody who didn't really understand conflict resolution. You get what I'm trying to say? And because of that, as I'm learning it and I'm getting better at it, I have more grace for the people who don't now. Because when I didn't, I feel like if I had a little more grace, maybe I could have got to a little faster, but people were so offended by me. You know what I'm saying? And I really didn't mean any harm, and vice versa. I was so offended by people when they really may not have meant any harm. I'm offended by you. You didn't even mean harm. You bringing it back to the conversation we just had. I was offended by you saying, you know, feeling like how you were convicted in what you were saying, being a threat, but whole time you didn't mean any harm, but I was offended. You know what I'm saying? But I'm offended for my own reasons. You know what I'm saying? But I'm offended. You know what I'm trying to say? So I think, like, you know, learning who you're dealing with, partner's conflict resolution style, or just kind of at least just engage in a conversation, even if it sounds quirky to say, what's your conflict resolution style? Just like finding more about their background. You know what I'm trying to say? Or even after a while, like, I just feel like, you know, we also, this is about to sound crazy, but this is just, I really feel like this. I feel like a lot of us, we live in a victimized mindset a lot. Mm. Like, as soon as something happens, like, you know, you acting like this to me. Like, you doing this to me. To me, sometimes it ain't even about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, if you could just kind of pause for a second and kind of read what's happening. Like, I told you about this video, and I wish I could put this video up. So, you know, my job, we had to take all of these, like, classes and sessions and stuff like this. And one time I watched this program, and the lady was just talking about, like, when you're listening to somebody upset, your job really isn't to tell them anything. It's just to listen to why they're upset. And the reason why you want to listen is because you need to find the underlying message of what they're saying. Because a lot of times when people are upset, they don't know how to connect, like, the real reason. So they're going to tell you all these reasons, but if you can find the underlying reason, like, so if Jay's like, yo, like, you know, you're like, I came home, I came home, ain't no dinner cooked, da da da, like, and you were here sitting up, whatever, and he may be upset, but what's really happening is he came home for a long day, he's tired, you know what I'm saying? And you don't know, he might have called me, I answered, whatever. You can find the reason why what's happening, and instead of responding back, you can literally just talk to what they're upset about. You know what I mean? And I think we all could do a better job at just listening a little harder and just reading, like, people a little better. Like, but I feel like we're so full of victim and self, like, we can't really see the person for what they're saying or what they're trying to get to. Like, we perceive it as if they're, you know, attacking us. And it's not really always an attack. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not always an attack.
I mean,
I said a mouthful, but, you know.
No, it's interesting because you were talking about, like, conflict resolution mm-hmm. styles. And, like, I just asked the question, like, what are conflict resolution styles? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, Like, do we even know the different conflict resolution styles? So I looked it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I saw five. Like, there's five types of ways to conflict resolution.
That's
the
hard.
First is competing. One party seeks to satisfy interests regardless of the impact to the other party. Collaborating, where both parties win. You have compromise. Both parties win and give something up. You have avoiding, which is one or both parties seeks to just suppress the conflict. Mm-hmm. And then you have accommodating, where one party yields the win to the other party. Mm. So when we talk about conflict resolution styles, if we don't even have the understanding of how to resolve it, how can we understand, first and foremost, our partner's resolution style,
right,
or even be open to have a conversation? Mm. Because we might just be ready to compete, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just trying to get our point across and things of that nature, right, whereas your partner is willing to compromise. It's like, we're willing to compromise or collaborate where we both can win, but you're just coming at me out of 10. So how do we get to this place?
I also feel like, or learning your own, which one on the spectrum you fall under. Because I feel like at that point, like, if I don't even know that I'm, like, and then we talk about that self-awareness and that, if I don't know that I'm an avoidant conflict resolution, you know, if I'm the type to do avoidant style, right? Say that's my type. If I don't even know that I'm that type, I can't really understand my partner's conflict resolution style. You get what I'm trying to say? So if Jay's the collaborator and I'm avoidant, you get what I'm trying to say? There's really no work that can be done there until we even understand what is your conflict resolution style. So maybe that's the start. Finding out what your conflict resolution style is. I don't know.
What do you think yours is?
I think, can you say them five? What's the five one more time? It's
competing, collaborating, compromise, avoiding, and accommodating.
Okay. So I'll be honest. I feel like a lot of my life I was competing. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm going to be straight up like, yeah, but what, you know, you telling me, yeah, well, I, you know what I'm saying? Definitely. I've never been avoidant. However, I never been avoidant. Now I do feel like I'm more of a collaborator. What was the last one?
Accommodating. So it's accommodating and avoiding were the last two.
So I would like to work on being more accommodating. I think that one's probably here and there. But like,
is your style? Like, what is
I don't think I have a... Because I'm like growing daily, I think I have a select style. I think I come from a big past of competing. However, I feel like I collaborate a lot more now. I'm working towards being a more accommodating. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the only one I think I don't really touch on the spectrum is I don't think I've ever been avoidant. Like, you know what I'm saying? When something bothers me or there's an issue, I definitely, let's talk about it. Cause I don't really do well in sweeping things under the rug. I hate that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't mean that I address it the correct way. However, all the time. However, I do want it to the surface. You know what I'm trying to say? So I'm not avoidant. I've never been avoidant because we got the handle of this thing. Nah.
So let me ask you this question. How did you get to a place from, how did you evolve from competing to collaborating? Like, how did you get from that resolution style to going to
the other? The honest truth. I don't like people competing with me. Huh. Like, it was because competing, you know, obviously meaning like say somebody else has a problem and now it's, but my problem is this, your problem, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? I don't like it being done to me. Like, you know what I mean? When I have a problem, I want my problems to be heard. And so I understood that. So when somebody else has a problem, I have to let their problems be heard. You know what I'm trying to say? I have to accommodate them. I have to collaborate with them so that way we both can win. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to win. Like, not win. I don't even like to use the term win, but I want to be heard. You know what I'm saying? I want to be, you know, I want my problems to feel important. You know what I mean? So I have to allow other people's problems to feel just important. I can't, like, they can't come to me with a problem. I'm like, well, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be important. I want my stuff to be also taken in consideration, you know? I don't want to just be the, so that's really what led me to relate, like I said, like, I've talked about it a couple times in these episodes, but you have to look at yourself, like, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you just, to get what you want, you got to reflect what you want. So you know, and to be reciprocal, you have to reflect what you want. So I just try to give what I want, you know what I'm saying, more now, you know what I'm saying? So that's all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think understanding your style is definitely can be something that's important. But before you could understand, it goes back to not to be redundant. It goes back to being self-aware and being able to acknowledge the style that you actually are, right? Because when I hear it, I was kind of, I was not surprised, but I was kind of happy you was able to acknowledge that I was competing for so much, for so long. Right, because when I hear it, the first thing I'm hearing, like, nobody wants to be the person that's competing. They don't want to say that about themselves, right? And I think the first part is being self-aware. What am I doing? What was I doing, right? How is that hurting me? Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to resolving conflict, it has to be a constant effort of wanting to get to the end goal no matter what. Mm-hmm. And the end goal is to be heard, to be, let's just say, in all selfishness of human, is to be felt, heard, and to be your feelings to be acknowledged, mm-hmm. right? And to your point, in order for your feelings to be acknowledged, you have to give and take. You got to be some type of accommodating. You got to be some type of yielding, like you would say, I guess, right? Because if I want, I gotta give what I want to get it. So cool. All right. I know, like the video said. Mm-hmm. If you're upset, you really just want to be heard. And I have to, in that moment, I have to put my feelings to the side to understand that. That's why I said I put myself. I wouldn't. At first, I said I wouldn't call it yelling. I would call it putting myself in somebody else's shoes. Because if you're upset, I have to understand that if I was upset, all I wanted for you to do is understand what's wrong. So in return, I gotta give you what I want, right? So it's like, okay, she's just upset. But it's a back and forth because that doesn't make it okay for you to talk to me however you want to talk to me, right? But it's a time and place. So let's paint a picture. I'm great at painting pictures than Picasso. So let's... That was a bad reference.
That was hilarious
though. Oh, whatever. So let's say for example, your homies, right? I came up in the city, the streets, right? Not the streets, but the hood. And it was a thing where if we out and my homie was wrong, I didn't tell him then. We would fight. We would do whatever we gotta do. So if we out, my homie start something and niggas wanna fight, we gonna rumble, right? But when we leave, I'm gonna tell you that, yo, that's wrong. How to tie that in is, okay, you come home, you upset. I know you want us to be heard. But now is not the time to tell you your approach is bad, right? Cool. Conflict resolution. I see why you're mad. I acknowledge that. I apologize. Let's get through it. During another time, may I understand that certain things might frustrate you, but you can't continue to talk to me like this mm-hmm. in the way to get your point through, because eventually I'm not going to hear that. All I see is how you're speaking, right? Mm-hmm. I think that is the give and take, the tug of war mm-hmm. of resolving conflict. But a lot of times we aren't able to channel our emotions in that moment when we think somebody got us fucked up. It's like, mm-hmm. nah, it's your delivery. I'm one of those people, right? Like, yeah, like if you got a problem with me, if you don't come at me correct, then you set yourself two steps back because I can't even hear you now. And granted, that's a true statement. Mm-hmm. But that might not be what you want to hear right now in a moment of you being frustrated, right? I think mm-hmm. just understanding that dance of mm-hmm. getting what you want, but giving a little too. I think that's really how we come to some type of resolution of conflict. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I agree. Because in the video, it was like it's like what you touched on, it was like delivery. It was just like the tone. Like, you know, I think a lot of times, like for me, I know for sure, like my tone ain't always correct. You know what I'm saying? Because like, you know, I'm very expressive and I know that. So I'm expressive when I'm happy. I'm expressive when I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm expressive when I'm frustrated. My tone matches my mood every step of the way. My face, my body language, it always matches my mood. So sometimes, like, if depending on the tone, my mood, my tone, when I'm telling, like, Jay something and my tone is off, it may come off wrong. But whole time, like, for example, like, I'm not even mad at you, but I might just be tired, had a long day. But my tone is going to reflect that I'm tired and had a long day. So when I have to tell you something, it's going to come out of that tone and not like a, bae, like, da-da-da-da. And if you're a person who, you know what I'm saying, pays attention to tone, that could offend you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We battle that a lot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because you've had to tell me, like, bae, you're delivering. And I'm like, bro, I'm just tired. Like, I'm just hungry. Like, I've just had a long day. It's not even about you, but... You know, it doesn't put a crutch on it because you definitely want to still keep your tone under wraps. But it doesn't mean that people aren't human and tone reflects your mood. Like, you know, you are a being. You're not a robot. So it doesn't reflect that as well. So, no, that's a fair standpoint.
You know, the biggest thing I think we overlook when it comes to resolving conflict after we're already there is time apart. Mm. I think that's one of the biggest overlooked things. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we practice that. And we continue to practice that. And it worked. Mm-hmm. Just, bro, just give me a second.
Take a second.
And honestly, sometimes it'd be frustrating for me. It'd be like, but you're right, whatever. But sometimes, like a lot of times that helped because we're able to go our separate ways, relieve all this tension, right, and frustration. And then we could come back and have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's like.
And I've grown to a place where now, like, I try not to let my tone affect me. I just be like, I just need a second. Mm-hmm. Like, I just need a second. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to bring my tone into it. I don't want it to cause no confusion. So I just need a second. Like,
but even.
And just saying that, like, I just need a second.
Even in, like, I know sometimes texting, you can get lost in transition because of texting. Mm-hmm. But even the power of texting, though, because I can text something. Or I can be text something and I can read it and sit it down for a second. Mm. Right? And when I sit it down for a second, it gives me a second to clear my mind or whatever. Mm-hmm. I come back to it, read it, and I can respond to different.
That's
it,
true.
It takes away that feeling of having to instantly respond. Because
are you gonna be mad if I tell you something?
What?
It's kind of what you're saying though, but it's not like, you know, I know I could be a petty bitch, but this is not petty. Like, I really, whenever we, like, get in a moment and we take space, I put your notifications on Do Not Disturb. Because I do, because, like, I
but
don't want
him to. But that's a part of conflict resolution almost.
Yeah, no, it is.
You
for
know
me,
that
for me, because I know me, like, and I know that sometimes you'll text me, you know what I mean, how you feel. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I don't even want to look at it. Like, because if it comes to my phone, I'm going to be compelled to probably answer and, you know what I mean? I'm like, so I'll just put on Do Not Disturb for a second until I feel like I'm at a place where I can respond in the best version of myself.
But I think that's conflict resolution as well, though.
These are all ways
people can resolve conflict when they get into that space. Yeah, I think, I mean, but that's.
Yeah. But, and it's not, I was like, if this nigga, like, I'll be sitting there, I'm like, I'll just, like, if I open my phone, you know it's Don't Disturb, I'll be standing up, but it's Don't Disturb, I'm like, don't worry. Like, not Do Not Disturb, I mute it. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when your message comes to your notification comes to my phone, I'm not compelled, because you know, you're my man, so if I see your name come up, I'm going to be compelled to open it.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say? So I put on mute, so I don't want it to come to my phone.
So who don't you put on mute then? Because I'm the only nigga that's on mute, it's other niggas that text me.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you're not even mute like all the time. It's only like if we're having like a moment, I put you on mute. Cause like I don't even want to see this nigga.
I'll never put you on mute.
Oh my God, you just told me you put me down.
I put the phone down.
It's me. Exactly.
Whatever, man. We just told you guys how to resolve conflict in your relationships. No, it's nothing wrong with just taking a second.
Hold on, Jay. You ain't never answered the question you asked her.
What was it?
Oh,
facts. No, what is your style of conflict?
Hearing Alex, I had multiple styles. It's been times where I avoided things because I didn't want to be in a space of conflict at all, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, when you started, it's like I learned how me avoiding things made it worse in the long run because at the end of the day, I'm trying my hard just not to be this guy, right? So, but in me trying my hardest not to be this guy, I'm only avoiding and it's only building up. So now when it comes out, I'm still that guy. And I got tired of still being that guy because in my mind, I'm like, bro, even with relationships, with friendships, with anything, just in school, just fighting, whatever, conflict in general, I got so tired of still being that guy. It got frustrating because it's like, I can't, it felt like I couldn't win for losing. So what would happen is like, you know, somebody, I feel like somebody played with me. And them playing with me, cool. I just ignore it, let it rock, right? I thought I was letting it rock, but it was just build up. Feel like I'm getting played with again. Let it rock. It's just building up. But by the time that fifth, sixth, seventh, even tenth time, when it comes off, at the end of the day, I'm still somebody I don't want to be. So you still can critique. You can still critique my response in a way I wish it was never critiqued. I have no leg to stand on. Right? So I had to learn how, matter of fact, let's just be talking relationships. It would be times where Sade would do things and I wouldn't even speak on it. But me not speaking on it, she don't even know she's doing things, right? So the moment I felt like it reached that level of boiling point, I would explode. And then now I'm the guy that you just say, I want somebody that's going to, pull me out the ring, not get in the ring with me, right? For me, it was like, it took so much for me to get in the ring. But guess what? At the end of the day, I still got in the ring. So I had to learn how to communicate through that so I didn't even get in the ring. Because now when I hear you say, I just want somebody that's not going to put me in the ring, I'm like, are you serious? You know how much it takes for me to get in the ring? Like, you keep doing this for me. You keep damn near begging me to get in the ring.
But I ain't even know.
Right, but cool. Okay, cool. You don't see that? I had to take another approach. Now I'm a compromise, give a little, take a little. I'm a yield some, right? Because he said even in yielding. So okay, if you say something that I don't understand, instead of me snapping at it, just take a little extra second and try to understand, right? Like I said, like you might say, yo, I thought that was a last episode. I think you said you thought that was a threat. Again,
sound like.
Yeah, it sounded like a threat. My initial thought was that makes no sense because that nothing what I was saying was threatening you. But I have to understand that you're not just saying that to say that. You feel that way. How could she feel that way? Okay, this is why. And because I didn't mean that, it takes nothing to be like, you know what? I can see that. I can compromise with that. And I apologize for that. Right? My feelings still feel the same way. But if I handled it a different way, you might not have felt threatened. Right. And that's okay.
Right.
I had to learn that.
Yeah, and I also think, like, sometimes when you're, like, not you, but, like, when people are avoiding of things, because I feel like this is what happened with us. I'm not an avoider. You know what I'm trying to say? But you'd be avoiding. So, you, like, I was doing things. You weren't really addressing them until you felt like it was time to address them. But what's happening is, oh, if I feel something, I'm addressing them. So I don't give a fuck if it's 1, 2, 3, 5. I'm saying it all five of them in a row. Yeah, I don't like when you do this. I don't like when they do that. So now you feel like I'm coming at your neck like five times. Like, damn, like, bitch, I ain't tell you what you've been doing all week long that's been getting on my nerves. But everything I do is getting on your nerves. You get what I'm trying to say? So now it looks like you are holding space for me while I'm attacking you the whole time. We both feel ways about each other, you know what I'm saying? Or have things that we feel. It's not even feel ways about each other. Have things we feel, but I'm addressing it overload, but you're not addressing it at all. And I think there's a balance. Like, it's like pick your battles. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that just should be addressed. Some things that I don't need to say all the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a balance so that there is no big boil up, but there's nothing like that's being swept under the rug either.
So I won't leave y'all with the cliche of communication is key. I'll take it one even further, right? Thanks to Alex, he brought up the different conflict resolution styles. Sit down and have a conversation with your partner when things are good or whatever about conflict resolution styles, right? give them the space to answer, to tell you how they are, not what you think they are. Because what happens is they'll tell you and you'll be like, you really somebody that's combative, or you really somebody that's defensive. Right. It's like, bro, let them give you your style.
Right.
And if you don't agree, you could communicate like, I didn't know that. Sometimes it feels like you can be this way, and maybe y'all can communicate through that.
You know what I learned through therapy that I really, really like? I feel like saying it feels like helps the conversation so much. Because sometimes our feelings are not reality.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And sometimes when you go from you do this to I feel like this, it can open the conversation for, oh, wait, no, I didn't mean it like that. Or you can get some clarity on what it really is, or allow the person to express what they meant by it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I used to do like, nah, because you had like, just I just knew how you thought about things and how you were doing it and what you were coming off at. But realistically, you don't know what the hell is in anybody's mind. I don't know what you mean, what you thinking when you're doing something. You know what I mean? But a lot of us, I don't know, I can't speak for men, but women is delusional as hell. We always go, I'm trying to tell you, I know, girl, he did this because yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, we, cool. Y'all a little retarded.
We going to find a solution for you.
Yeah, a little special ed.
All right, you taking it too far.
My bad. I'm sorry.
You taking it too fucking far. And the thing is about you taking it too fucking far is because sometimes we deaf be right. I'm just saying.
Oh, that woman's intuition?
There very well is a woman intuition. That don't be disrespectful. Fake.
My bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Don't be disrespectful.
Ain't no such thing.
We can be delusional, but be delulu till it's trululu. Okay?
So wait. Woman's intuition
and delusion is real, is not
but
the same
thing. Y'all do be delusional.
Delusion and intuition is not the same thing at all.
It's one and the same.
It's
your
not.
Intuition is fake. It's false. So you're delusional.
It's not fake or false.
You're retarded. You're sitting on a horse at a peanut gallery. Like, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I thought you grew some. And I really realized, like, you're probably not who I thought you were, like, an hour ago.
All right.
You just call women retarded.
A little special.
Our intuition is not true.
Truly false.
Our intuitions are false.
For sure.
Interesting.
My bad, but finish what
you
saying.
No, that's so very telling about the guy you are.
Hey, give me a
I don't want your hand. I don't want your head.
Finish up your statement. What you saying, though?
So all I'm saying is, I don't even know. You just threw me off. We'll say intuition is off.
You drunk?
So, I really do feel like I was over here.
The way you just rolled your eyes, bro, what?
I was over here. I was like, I think that shot and this wine really did a thing. You know, I'm okay. But I definitely was like sneaking up on me. Like, I'm not drunk, but it was sneaking up
on me.
Let's
finish this and go have sex. Bae.
Not until you tell me my intuition is definitely facts and intact.
It's definitely not intact or facts, but I love you. False and all.
That's crazy.
I love you. But I think just not for sure. Just sit down and talk to your partner about what's facts. Like how you guys. Resolve conflict.
How we resolve conflicts. Ooh, that was what we drinking. What was that we was drinking?
Yak.
That's what that is.
They only had no name to
yikes.
It.
Yikes. It should be called yikes instead of yak.
No cap, man. Yo, this is good, man. Thank y'all for y'all input. Gemini Scorpio Podcast, episode 85. 86. God.
Are
damn.
You drunk?
No, it just got there's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, this is a lot of numbers.
Gemini Scorpio Podcast, episode 86. The whole gang here. Alexander LeBlanc.
She shot it. Hey.
Kyron, Dylan, Irvin. Thank you. We appreciate you. It's a wrap, guys. We out.
We out.